and those naysayers in the bar that said this is a bad idea, I got to tell you, for a long time, they were right. I mean, this was a hard thing.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, here as always with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Ron Siever, president of National Sports Forum. He's going to tell us how NSF got started, the conference structure, as well as other things they do throughout the year. And we're here today with Ron. Ron, how are you doing?
I'm very fine. Thank you so much for inviting me in.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. So you were going to ask me how I was doing, Justin?
Yeah, we've got Matt here, too. Yeah. How's Matt doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. Ron, so for maybe those of our listeners who aren't familiar with yourself or the National Sports Forum, could you give us kind of a background as to who you are and your organization?
Absolutely. Well, thank you. The National Sports Forum is something that we started back in, we started working on this in 1994, which is a long time ago, because this, and coming up, we actually put our first one on in January 1996. So this coming year will be our 25th anniversary. But what it is, and I came just by way of background, I came out of the San Diego Padres organization.
Okay.
I was in charge of their sponsorship and promotions back in the 80s on into the 90s. And every year in the fall, Major League Baseball would hold a meeting back in those days, and they'd bring all the folks that did what I did, the promotions, the marketing, the sponsorships. They'd bring us to Scottsdale for about 2 or 3 days. Great, great time. Absolutely loved it. The first time I got to go. In fact, the first time I went was 1984, and I was the only one from the Padres there. There was maybe 50 people at that meeting.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was very, very small, but it was the most enjoyable experience. And that year, we actually went to the World Series, and I would say this going to this meeting was every bit as much fun as going to the World Series. And the meeting turned out better for us than the World Series did that year because we basically lost to the Tigers in 5 games. So, you know, but at the end, we finished up, got a chance to go to Scottsdale and hang out with my peers from teams. I didn't know any of these folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never talked. So now all of a sudden I'm in a room talking to folks from the Cubs and the Giants and the Red Sox, and it was absolutely terrific. And the next thing you start to discover is that while you may compete on the field, you don't compete in the front office, which is to say, down here in San Diego, you know, one of our rivals is the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, you know, it's not like the Dodgers aren't going to share information with me because they're afraid that I'm going to take their season ticket holders. If you've ever seen Southern California traffic, there's no way you're going to be able to convince somebody from downtown L.A. to drive to San Diego 81 times a year to watch baseball. So you don't really have to worry that I'm going to take your fans. And then the other part was, would people be willing to share their sponsors? Share sponsorship information. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that was yes, because, you know, you both might have, I don't know, let's say hypothetically Bank of America. You know, you have Bank of America, they have Bank of America, but it doesn't mean that if they give you information into a sponsor that you want to have that they have, that, well, that sponsor will stop doing business with you. Truth be said, you know, if Bank of America wants to open up credit card accounts in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. they're not going to accomplish that by sponsoring the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
So, you know, the reality is you very quickly realize that, hey, if you share with me, I'll share with you, and we'll all be better as a result. Now, having gone to those meetings for a number of years, about 8 years, you know, I'm starting to hear some of the same, you know, program ideas. Because in the early days, I would get writer's cramp writing notes. I'd come home and I'd try to tell everybody I was a genius. You know, I'd come up with these ideas that I might have stolen from the Oakland A's or Seattle Mariners. And I'd say, oh, I've got this idea. And they'd say, wow, you're brilliant. And so that was the encouragement when you're the only one going from the organization. You take credit for everything. But now, you know, you flash forward, those meetings had grown exponentially. I mean, I was now one of 18 people that went from the Padres.
Oh, wow.
And the meetings had, you know, about 880 people at them.
Oh, wow. And, you word know, got out.
Found because, well, the word definitely got out. And what happened is the other departments, you know, that weren't part of the marketing sponsorship. We're like, well, why don't we get to go? And the finance department's going, and the legal department is going, and you find yourself from operations are going, community relations are going, and that's all great. But then some Einstein came up with a great idea. Let's commingle the sessions. So, you know, I find myself, you know, and honestly, you know, as I'm wont to say, in the bar at night where all good things happen, you know, when you're in the bar sharing stories and ideas with everybody, you know, sometimes you don't keep your eye on the watch. And I found myself one morning at 8 o'clock in the morning sitting in a session filled with accountants. They were team accountants. And the session was called How to Cost Accrue Your Promotions.
Okay.
And one of the CPA types starts talking and dropping letters and numbers. And I'm like, first of all, I've had maybe 2.5 hours of sleep, and I have no idea what they're talking about. It's like, you know, because at the end of the day, my job isn't to count the money. My job is to get it in the door.
Yep.
You know, I'm responsible for drawing fans into the stadium. What you do with the money after they come here is, I don't really care. I mean, you can pay your shortstop. I don't, you know, what you do with it and how you cost accrue it. I'm just interested in coming up with something that the fans haven't seen before, that they're like, oh, yeah, we'll go to that game. You know, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. And so, you know, I found myself in this meeting just wishing I was anywhere else, like Root Canal.
And, like Root Canal. You
know, having Root Canal would have been better. And you know, thinking to myself that God, there's got to be a better way. I wonder, you know, you went to the NBA meetings. I bet they got a lot of interesting ideas.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that night, I'm in the bar, of course, back at the hair of the dog, and talking to my counterparts and saying things like, hey, you know, wouldn't it be cool to go to the NFL meetings or NBA meetings, NHL meetings? And they'd look at me and they go, why would you want to go there?
Okay.
And I said, well, I don't know, because they got really great ideas. I mean, you know, and they were like, no. We're baseball. They're basketball. Well, yeah, I'm not playing second base. You know, I'm doing they play with a ball indoors and I'm outside in San Diego, but at the end of the day, our business is exactly the same.
Fair.
I mean, they
got to
sell tickets. They got to get the fans engaged, entertained. They got to get the sponsors involved. I mean, they're doing exactly what I'm doing. And they look at me like, you know, I had just shot their dog. And it was like, and I go, why? And they're like, you don't understand. We're baseball, they're basketball, they're football, and we stay on our side and they stay on their side. And it was like, really, there was this mindset that, and true, I mean, to be said, I mean, I could not go to the NBA meetings. I would not have been invited. I wouldn't be invited today. I couldn't, you know, they didn't come to ours. I mean, in fact, at those fall meetings, there wasn't anybody from minor league baseball.
Okay.
And at the winter baseball meetings, the only really major league execs you find are the ones who are on the players' side, the player development, the GMs, and things of that nature. You don't really find the business execs at the winter meeting. So, and we share the same commissioner. Mm-hmm. So it's really bizarre how people were, you know, very in their own lane, as they say. And so the thought that became the forum was, somebody ought to start a conference. I mean, it's getting too expensive out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start signing ball players for $35 million a year, and, you know, the owner stops by your desk on the way downstairs to the press conference and says, hey, Ron, I'm going to need another $20 million next year. You know, kind of like I'm printing it in the basement. You know,
yeah.
It was like, I got to come up with some idea. I mean, believe me, if I knew how to get another $20 million, I would have done it.
Right.
So I need to have some access to ideas that are maybe outside of my box. I need to put together some sort of an arena where I can hear from what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was one of those, the forum started, somebody ought to start a meeting and just bring all of us together. I mean, we don't realize it, but we have far more in common than we have different.
Yep. Okay.
And if we could just get under the same roof and really start to share with each other, I mean, leave the egos at the door, you know, grab a Budweiser, sit down, and just start sharing with each other openly.
Mm-hmm.
It's infectious.
Yeah.
It's infectious. So into that, you know, companies like Daktronix got involved, and Budweiser got involved. I mean, these are all people that play at our table as well to give their side of the story. Mm-hmm. Well, how, you know, I mean, for a company like Daktronix, they can hear what the teams are looking for. Yep. You know, you actually get a chance in a very informal situation to sit around and you start talking about, well, so how would you guys want to accomplish this? What could we do? You know, and you can take those ideas back to the factory and start drawing it up and becoming more opening and engaged. Or you get to hear about new stadiums or arenas that are opening up or that are on the drawing board. It's like, well, what would you want to see in there?
Okay.
How's this, you know, because I mean, I don't know. You guys may think that you're in the signage business, but I don't. I think you guys are in the fan entertainment and engagement business.
Right.
Just as, I mean, when I was at the Padres, if I asked, if I walked down the hall and said, what business are we in? People would say, oh, well, we're in the baseball business. I don't think so.
Okay. So I got a question for you here. You say that there was just nobody getting together and crossing those lines. So at the core, NSF is bringing all the different sports together, but you even mentioned businesses outside that are related to sports. So it's really a conference to bring everybody together and just share those ideas.
But we built it around, I mean, it's a good question. We built it around, because we knew at the beginning, you just couldn't have this turn into a circus.
Yeah.
We wanted to build it around four pillars. So because, and there's so many different ways you could take this, a group like this too. But in our case, we decided that we're going to build it around ticket sales, sponsorship, marketing, and business development.
Okay.
So we always called those our four pillars. Mm-hmm. And so any of the topics that resonate within those four arenas, so discussions on social media, inside sales, or even gaming, sports gaming, even topics that that's at its infancy for us now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're all involving ticket sales, business development, how to get the fans involved. So your marketing, what's our messaging to our fans? So things like social and digital media become very important, as well as ticket sales, sponsorship, marketing, and fan engagement. So all four of those different boxes usually are what we're going to build our agenda around, and those are the executives that we bring in.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me think, too, about how we look at those markets, too, Ron. Like you started to say about how, you know, you can learn the same thing from MLB to NBA and at Daktronix, right? We're in the, you know, the sports business as well. And it's like, how are our products being used in all of these different ways? And it also kind of made me think of, you know, we've had a couple different guests on the podcast over this last year. And a lot of times operators, video production people, marketing people, when they've been in the industry for a long time, they've been in these different sports areas too. And they always talk about being able to take a couple of ideas from their previous job and being able to incorporate that into the new team, new sport, or whatever they're involved in. So it's, I would say from Daktronix side, I've gone four of the last 5 years, so I haven't been there the whole time that we've been together, but I noticed that is kind of the same thing too, is that you've kept it focused, but it's really interesting for us to talk to customers and see how they're using our products or anything else in the industry to help bring people and put their butts in their seats, right? And
I mean, it has to, Matt. I mm-hmm. mean, because, you know, the business is evolving. Television and broadcasting have made it, streaming and things of that nature have made it so easy. If somebody just wants to watch the game, they don't necessarily need to come to the ballpark. I mean, there's a game going on like every minute. We have networks devoted to games and specific sports.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, you know, it had to be about, if all we were going to do is say, hey, we're playing ball tonight at 7:05, you know, and everyone's going to flock to the door, that's not going to happen.
Yep.
We have to evolve as technology has evolved to try to make it special. It has to be different. The enjoyment factor has to be 10x'd versus just sitting at home with your, you know, your remote. And, you know, just watching the game and the replays, you know, from home. No, this has to become an experience. So a group like Daktronix for us is pivotal because they help us to create the experience.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be different than just watching it on TV.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think back, and I could have looked this up maybe before we started, Ron, but I'm trying to think, how long has Daktronix and NSF been working together, I guess, how I would say.
Daktronix became an official sponsor in 2008.
Okay.
And has been with us ever since. So I think this would make it their 12th year. Will Ellerbrook,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've had him on your podcast, but
we have not yet. We've been trying to. This is good. This will help push him, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yes. Well, you know, he's got a tough agent too. His agent and my agent are the same, so he can be hard. But in Will's case, I've known him for years, going back, and you know, I kept telling him I'm going to start this conference, and I think I'd run into him at the winter meetings back around, I don't know, 98, 99, and I'd see him, and I think he might have even come out one time back when we were first getting started, because we started in 96, and I think he might have poked his head out. But in those days, I mean, Matt, guys, the first year we did this, we had 32 attendees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it didn't, when those naysayers in the bar that said this is a bad idea, I got to tell you, for a long time, they were right. I mean, this was a hard thing. I'd love to tell you that we just threw the sign out and everybody lined up, and you get what you have now, because we had just shy of 1,100 people there last year.
Wow.
But when we first started this thing, there weren't very many people. And in fact, we even tried to get it off the ground in 1995. Here's a little unknown fact that nobody else knows.
Oh, great.
Because we tell everybody the forum started in 96. Well, technically, the forum would have started in 95. But we had 10, and we had 10 great speakers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the president of the Golden State Warriors, president of New Jersey, it was then the New Jersey Nets, mm-hmm. president of the owner of the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, wow.
President of the Anaheim Angels.
That's a lineup.
yeah, we had a hell of a lineup. 10 great speakers. And with a week to go, we only had 3 attendees.
Oh, no.
So I really, you know, I was kind of hoping, like, I took it as far as I could. I just, you know, you can't have 3 times as many speakers as you have attendees.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Yeah,
and sick. So we canceled. And I remember that I owed the hotel a fortune, I don't know, like $65,000, which I was going to pay with the proceeds of this show that I was convinced was just going to pack them in. And I couldn't have been more wrong. And so I'd lost over $100,000 just trying to put this thing together.
Ooh.
And I remember my wife, you know, telling my wife that. And I'm
How'd
happy
that go?
To say she's still my wife.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did that conversation...
It was not a good conversation, guys, because I'd been working on this for 6 months. I hadn't brought in any money. I was just working straight on this. This was going to be it. This was the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, I thought.
Man.
And, you know, I had to go home and tell her that I had canceled the event and that, you know, we'd lost all this money and money I didn't have. I mean, I was going to have to pay it off over time. And she was like, well, what are we going to do? And stupid me, you know, because I'm like, I hadn't anticipated this question. I should have. And what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do it again. And she looked at me like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Why would you do this again? And I said, well, because damn it, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, I mean, she laughed and said, hey, bankruptcy court is filled with guys with good ideas. And I just always thought, you know, that's probably true. But I don't know. I mean, I really thought this thing, it would work.
Yeah.
You know, so we stepped back and just tried it again and really launched the first one in March of 96. And like I said, we had 32 people there. And, you know, still lost a ton. We lost money on it for 7 years.
Wow.
7 years. I still had to go home every year and just say, yeah, that cost more money than we took in. I was surprised to discover just how expensive it is
mm-hmm.
to put these things on. So, you know, people don't realize. I mean, I literally have people that come up to me and say, God, this is like a license to print money. And I look at them and go, what do you mean? Well, you know, I mean, you buy a 6-pack of Coke and a box of pencils and the rest of it's profit. And, of course, your first reaction is you want to reach out and hit them.
Yeah, you
know,
right. You have like, an uncomfortable laugh. Probably while they're doing that, you just kind of giggle,
yeah.
But inside you're on fire.
I swear, I just laugh because I've heard it before. I go, we're definitely backing up the Brinks truck here. and, you know, you walk away because they don't know. But to everybody sitting in that room, it just looks like, wow. But, you know, we slowly grew it.
Mm-hmm.
And you stayed with it. You know, I don't know why I stuck with it that long. Probably I told my wife I would keep doing it until somebody offered me a job. And I just told her that I was chronically unemployable because nobody was offering me a job.
Okay.
So I stayed with it. And every year we moved it around to a different part of the country. We still do that to this day. We go to different cities and showcase what's going on in sports in that city.
Okay.
And we just kept moving it. You know, we would try, you know, Colorado, then we went to Boston, and then we went to Jacksonville, Florida. We went to Anaheim. So we're kind of hopscotching around trying to see if any area would be better than any others. And the answer, unfortunately, was no.
Okay.
It was just one of those things where it took time, I think, for people to talk to other people. I don't think it was natural for people to necessarily, you know, somebody from the Rams picking up the phone and calling somebody from, I don't know, the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think that would be a natural, because you didn't know the person. You don't know what they're doing. You have no reason or information coming that you should call them because they're experts in something. So it took time, I think, for people to start to understand it. So
yeah,
to go back to your original question, I think Will had come out in, back when we were small, maybe 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't see him for a while, but I'd see him at the winter baseball meetings. And I kept telling him, hey, we're getting bigger. We're getting bigger. I mean, not quickly, but we're getting bigger.
Yeah.
And I think in 06, I got him to at the winter meetings in 05, I got him to agree that he'd at least come out and check it out in Philadelphia in 06, not too far from where he lives. And so he did. He came down, and we talked then. And he said, wow, this is really coming together nicely. And it had grown, you know, probably by that time, it was probably in the 500s.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is good. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to bring Jay with me, Jay Parker, with me next year.
Okay.
And so the next year we're in Los Angeles. And they came back, and Jay saw it immediately. He said, "Now this is not only the numbers, but the vibe. I think this is a good group. This is something we want to be a part of." And so they were very, Daktronics and Budweiser are our two most senior sponsors. Budweiser's been involved since 03, and certainly Daktronics since 08. And we very much value the relationship and the partnership that we've had with you ever since. But I owe it to Will to really, he championed it.
Nice, nice. So yeah, I'm going to back it up. You said a lot there that I want to kind of cover really quick. You said it took a little bit to get us started, and it 10 people or 3 people and then 32 people. So it took you believing in this, that, hey, this is something that needs to happen. And obviously it sounds like if it was easy, somebody would have done it already, but it took time and commitment, and you had to believe in it to see it all the way through. So you said you had this list of great speakers lined up, presidents and even team owners. What does the structure of that look like today? You started with those speakers, I believe, and then now what's it look like over the transition from the inception of it with those big name speakers to what it looks like today?
You know, it's interesting because it's not all that different, but because we move around the country, you get a chance to hear from different owners. Like coming up in Atlanta, we'll have Arthur Blank will be speaking to our group. Now,
okay,
we will have gone the night before. Daktronics is our sponsor of our opening reception at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yep.
And for a lot of folks that haven't been there, you know, I'm really looking forward to their reaction. I mean, if you're in football, or, you know, there have been certainly a number of events that have been at the stadium, but for a number of our attendees, they've only seen it on television.
Right.
So for them to come there, and I can't wait for them to see the Halo board and just actually see it in operation and just the story. But as you know, on Sunday is the first night that everybody gets together.
Mm-hmm.
So we try not to have an official speaker that night because everybody's so busy talking to each other. It's hard to get them to quiet down and give the respect and attention to a featured speaker. It's easier once they've had a chance to catch up with each other. So Monday and Tuesday you can do it, but you can't really do it on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, all right, let them see it on Sunday, and then on Monday get to hear from the architect, the gentleman who basically made it all happen, and that's Arthur Blank. So he'll be speaking to us on Monday afternoon, and I'm looking forward to that because I know now everybody will have seen it, and you know he'll be able to tell the story of not only just the Atlanta Falcons and the Atlanta United, which is an amazing success story in
soccer.
Yes,
it is.
But also, you know, where does he see the industry going? You know, he has a ringside seat to not only watch it, but to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the rest of us basically get to read about it, but he's the one doing it. You know, he sits on committees, and he basically is a kingmaker out there. And so just to hear his input, what is going on in the industry, the NFL industry, or the sports industry in general, you know, what are his concerns? What are the things he's happy to see? So to your question, we still, it's great to have a number of, we still have the educational component of it. I mean, the social obviously goes without saying, these getting all the men and women together. But I think the opportunity to now sit in and listen to panels, we have a couple of panels that we put on. We have a couple of keynote speakers coming up, still very much like it was back in the infancy.
Okay.
And then we have more breakout sessions now because we have more people.
Yep.
So this is kind of a weird thing. It was from going to other conferences, I always found that when you had little breakout rooms and they had more than 50 people in them, people tended to not raise their hand and ask questions.
Yep.
There's something about a big mob scene there. Nobody wants to stand up and have everybody look at them and go, God, that was a dumb question.
Yeah, how do you not know that?
Know?
Yeah,
right.
So when you get a smaller group, you know, anywhere 25, 45 people, it's a little bit more intimate, you know, you know, you're amongst friends type of thing. So we kept expanding the number of breakouts so that we could keep the numbers in each room relatively manageable. I mean, yes, there's something to be said when, I don't know, Nick Kelly from Budweiser has a session. He has 165 people in his room. But a lot of those people are doing business with Budweiser and definitely want to hear what Nick's got to say. But it's another thing when you're doing a session like Dactronics is doing a session to talk about a very specific topic, you know, on fan entertainment, fan engagement. You know, you want to hear from the audience.
Yep. Yeah.
You want to get as a speaker, you want to hear, well, so what's on your mind? And you want it to be small enough and manageable enough. So that's changed. I mean, when we first started, we only had 3 breakout sessions. We go to a breakout session track, we would just do 3. Mm-hmm. Now we go to breakout session track, we do 8. So you have plenty of options for you to go to and sit in on different sessions close to your interest level.
Yeah, and it's nice that you talk about the breakout sessions because that's one of the things I've noticed, you know, a little bit different about the National Sports Forum and starting to go there too. Like you mentioned, we have the one coming up now, Cater to Your Fans in a New Way, Social Experiences from Street to Seat. And usually whenever we do sessions or anything like this, you always come with some backup questions, right? Because you get done, everyone presents on kind of a round table type thing. And your biggest fear is always that no one asks the questions. They always say, well, that means you explained it very well. But I'm never a true believer in that. Like, you want engagement in the crowd. And there's been several years where we've come in with, I wouldn't call them secret shoppers, but people in the crowd that we've fed questions to in case if nobody asked any. And that hardly ever happens. I don't think there's a time where we really had to dive into those because the people in the session were engaged and weren't afraid to ask questions later on. So that was kind of a thing that I know that we appreciated too about it. And this year too, when you talk about you travel to different cities every year, obviously we meet every year to determine, or not to help determine, but you guys let us know where you're thinking of going in the coming years. And when we started talking about going to Atlanta and the fact that we have, you know, Mercedes-Benz Stadium there with the largest video scoreboard in the world, the Halo board, it really got us excited for this year too, just knowing that when we have a premier location like that too, and you join that with a conference like yours and being able to sponsor that opening night reception definitely means a lot to us. And we're excited to see everyone's reactions to all the different displays we have around there. Because tying back into our breakout session, the Halo board's great, but Mercedes-Benz does a lot of really cool things in the concourse area for social experiences. So we've installed a lot of displays in club and bar and restaurant areas that they use. And it's just kind of a cool thing to be able to see everyone's reactions to all that.
Well, and as we're evolving, but I think one of the things that I really like about how, you know, Will and how you run the breakout sessions is that you don't make them salesy. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing we always need to couch, especially new people that are coming to lead a session at the forum. If they're in the product or sales category, you know, the natural inclination is, oh, I'm going to go there and take advantage of this, you know, 50 minutes and I'm going to sell. And there's something weird about our group. They don't mind. They love to buy, but they hate to be sold. So, you know, the more you stand up there and tell them, hey, this is why you ought to be with Dactronics, the more turned off they're going to be. And I've seen people get in that situation and turn their crowd off in 2 or 3 minutes. Because the people need, they're like, no, I didn't come for an infomercial. And Dak never does an infomercial.
Yeah.
I mean, the beauty of it, you guys realized it very early on. If there's going to be any discussion about the beauty of Daktronics, it's never said by somebody from Daktronics. You usually let one of your customers say it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you've got somebody from the Falcons that's going to be on your session. Let the Falcons talk about.
Yep.
I mean, they could have gone in 100 different directions in purchasing their signage. Why did they go with Daktronics?
Yep.
You know, and just leave it to them. I'm just like, here on this podcast, I'm going to tell you all the reasons why you should be with Daktronics. You don't need to listen to my guys talk about it. You know, obviously, I love coming out. I mean, they're not just a sponsor, they're a partner. I love it. Usually, I come out every 3 years and get a tour and bring some of my guys with me just to see the plant and see what's new. And just get a chance to hear and experience about what's happening. And I have to admit, Brookings is not the easiest place to find on the map.
I was going to say, we always try to get people out here. So we love it when you guys come out and visit, Ron, especially that you bring, you know, some other people that maybe have never been to Brookings and they think that, you know, is Mount Rushmore around here? Because that's what everyone thinks of when they hear
right.
South Dakota. But it's
sure.
And I don't think you guys have come up here during the wintertime, because that would definitely be a way to scare people away from coming again.
Yeah.
But but we love having you guys up here every time. And you always take people to the local, you know, Nick's Hamburgers in town here that you always like bringing people to. So not that we're have a paid sponsor of Nick's Hamburgers for the podcast, but I know that's always a favorite.
Oh, you should. You should get Nick's Hamburgers to be the sponsor. If you ever go to Brookings, anybody listening to this, A, you owe it to yourself to get over to Daktronics, but B, while you're there, you got to go to Nick's. Truly one of the best experiences that you've ever had. But it's just, it's a beautiful part of the country. And the first time I went was in March, and so I got the tail end, and I made a decision to never go back in March again. And I would only imagine that would be seconded by January and February.
Yep.
But by the time you get into April, you can actually start to see grass. And so if I time this right, it is the most spectacularly beautiful drive to get over from the airport and come see the guys. And it's just nice because it's family. Mm-hmm. And just we can sit around and talk about really where's the industry going? What's happening, you know, from your perspective and what you're dealing with, but also from what we're hearing. Because we don't just hear it from the teams, we also hear it from the sponsors. And the sponsors play a very strong role in this equation. Mm-hmm. They subsidize the teams to a great extent. And so, of course, what is it the sponsors want to see? What's not happening? You know, the days of the old signs, you know, just having a sign on the outfield wall and it just lays there for 2.5 hours or 3 hours on the game, you know, that's given way to now the ability to engage the fan,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not just hope that maybe they might have remembered or seen it, but actually to get them involved. So now you have sections of the ballpark that are carved out that are just specifically indigenous to that sponsor, where they're able to mix and mingle with people. Sponsorship's one of those great ways where they not only get feedback from a customer, but they can also sample things. They can try out their product or their process, new flavors, new colors, new packaging, you know, and kind of get a little bit of an informal, and maybe not during the game, but before the game or after the game, when people are out hanging out and socializing. It's, you know, you can do that, and you can't really get that kind of, you know, man on the street feedback easily in other means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a tailgate party is a great opportunity before the game to go out and get some, you know, how do people really think about this? How are they reacting? What are their thoughts? And so we as sports properties are able to, whether it's a ball club or it's a NASCAR race, Churchill Downs, you're able to really gather your herd together under the auspices and also send a message to that community. This team's important to you. This team's important to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're, you know, all part of the same family, part of the same equation.
Yeah. And I, that's the other part I like working with you guys too, is just the knowledge of the industry. You come out with, I can't remember, it's like every other year or something, but you work with, you know, Ohio University, and you go through and you do these research projects, and we always end up learning a ton from them. So you guys offer a lot of things, I would even just say year round, outside of just the main session. You have other things going on throughout the year, but you have these like research guides and stuff that I know I still have the last couple sitting by my desk that are good reading material, especially when we have new hirees or interns coming in to have them read that to get kind of updated as to what the sponsors and teams and whatnot are thinking of. But
no, we have one coming up now. In fact, I work very closely with Jim Kaler, who's the executive director of the AECOM school there at Ohio University.
Oh, yeah.
And his team is now doing the research. Now, what we'll do, to what Matt's point is, we'll take 25 of the biggest sponsors that are out there and do a deep dive with them. Probably spend anywhere on the short end 30 minutes, on the long end an hour, asking them, talking to them about, all right, you know, we're not trying to sell you anything. We're just trying, so don't feel, it's not like, you know, we're with a ball club and we want to try to sell you the fireworks show. We're just asking you, how are we doing as an industry? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to start with the general questions. Next year, you've already seen your budgets. Are you planning on spending more money, less money, or the same amount of money in your sports sponsorship? And if it's more plus or minus 10%, why is it strongly? Where are you putting that money instead? Are you dialing back? Are you dialing forward? I mean, and we'll start asking questions that get more specific. Who does the best job of activation? So we'll get into the granular level. Which teams and why? It's not just what. I think the what, you know, you'll see other surveys out there that will tell you what. Sponsors say that such and such is the most, you know, is the best bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, and you know, Lord love them. But what we wanted to do with our survey is not just find out what was the best sport, but why do you say that? Because it's in the why that we learn. Why is it that they're doing? Why, if you're a big fan of, I don't know, the NHL, it's like the NHL is doing the best job, giving us the best bet. What is it that they are doing mm-hmm. that you're not seeing in other sports? Because those other sports are going to be sitting in this room listening to it going, well, yeah, I guess we could do that. You know, sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it sounds simple, but guys, it's like handing the playbook. You know, it's like, what are you trying to see? You know, and here's the funny part. At the same time that we're doing those interviews with the 25, we call the top 25, we're also reaching out to 25 executives that are in the sponsorship sales side of team sports, so sports properties as well as ball clubs. And we're asking them the same questions, but from their point of view. In other words, what do you think your sponsors find to be the most important?
Okay.
What your sponsors want to see. So when we do presentation, that's the part that you sat through, Matt. When we do the actual presentation, we marry them together.
Mm-hmm.
And we might start a section by saying, guys, we're going to talk about, oh, I don't know, let's use the one where we ask, what are the most important assets or elements that you can put in a sports sponsorship package?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to start that by saying, we asked you, the team and sports property people, what you thought your sponsors want. And here's your top six. Boom, 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 boom.
Okay.
All right, that's up on one screen. On the other side of the screen, now we asked your sponsors the same question. Here's their top six. Now let's take a minute and compare the two slides.
Yep.
Wow. Gee, what's number one on theirs is number six on yours. And what's number one on your list isn't even on their top six. So guys, you know, my point is, if you're not getting all the sponsorship that you want, you're probably working off the wrong slide. These are the six things that should be, generally speaking, in your sponsorship packages. This is what they want to see. So, you know, it's very much a writer downer. We have a written report. People can download it off our website. I mean, mm-hmm. it's up there. There's no charge for it.
Okay.
You just download it. But it's only by going to the presentation that we really can analyze it for you.
Dive into it.
So Jim and I will be getting together next month in January for 3 days, 3.5 days in Arizona. To actually sit down, evaluate all the research, and then write the report so that we'll have it ready for everybody and present it on, gosh, is it either that Monday or Tuesday okay. at the forum.
Okay, so if I want to get all this information, if I've been listening and I'm interested in getting together with you guys down in Atlanta, is registration still open? Can I go to the website and then and sign up?
Absolutely, absolutely. You can just go to our website. It's www.sports-forum.com, and there's an S, so it's sports, and then a hyphen or dash forum, forum.com. And you'll see right there, and you know, right from the opening pages, there's, you know, we have runners up there. We have, what do they call them, banners that rotate, rotators, I guess.
Yeah, you got a countdown clock on there.
Yep.
And who is that countdown clock sponsored by?
Why would you mention that, Justin?
Looks like it's Daktronics there.
Oh, my God. What a better way to be able to promote what Daktronics does.
What a segue.
Countdown clock.
Yeah. Good job, Justin.
Oh, thanks.
But thank you very much for that. But no, we actually, you know, you can go up there and there's a registration button on every page, but it just go to the agenda if you want to see who the agenda is. Within that agenda drop down, you'll see that we'll have a whole page on the speakers. So if you just want to see who's speaking at this thing, and then there's another page that just breaks down all the Sunday workshops. There's another page that breaks down the entire agenda. We're in the process now of finalizing our agenda brochure, which when it's done, we mail it out to everybody. We do a big mailing of that, but in addition, we do an electronic version of it. You'll be able to download that from our website as well. We're just fine-tuning our final last speakers. We're still trying to get some headshots in and getting titles. Like I didn't. That's why before the call, I was asking Matt, have you guys picked your title yet? So we're still just trying to make sure that it's all set so that we can be as complete as we can be on the brochure as we can. So I think we have to go to press tomorrow. You can go up there and we'd love to see you. But in addition to the forum, I should also add, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, we started something a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, called Summits. Mm-hmm. These are more intensive one plus day events. For 3 years, we've done them in May in New York City. I think next year, instead of doing it in New York City, we'll do the May event in Chicago. So we're going to do May 6th. So it's May 5th and 6th. I don't know. It's that Wednesday and Thursday that we'll start with the Budweiser reception the night before. And then the next day, it'll be a full day of, it's just kind of like an intensive day of forum. So three breakout sessions, you know, a keynote speaker, a couple of super fans. It goes by fast. It's not the involved arms and legs of the NSF itself, but it's, you know, for Chicago, the focus will be a lot more on the region and that. And then we started one fall summit in San Francisco this past year that did really, really well. So we've kind of done that. We also do meetups in November. We just came off doing a whole bunch of meetups where we go into a city, take over a bar and have a super panel. And just, you know, Daktronics has been a part of that for probably the last 4 years, being a host of us doing this in different parts of the country. As Matt said, we do webinars. Mm-hmm. We try to do a webinar every other month, which you're free. But we invite guests on there and we can talk, people can listen in, and we'll do a 1 hour presentation, almost like sitting in on a breakout, if you would.
Nice.
And having people do that. So always trying to do a lot of stuff to keep the industry connected.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to it. I hope I can make it this year. If we could bring up Josh Kiles for a second. Yeah. I was told because I didn't make it this last year that he put me on some kind of list that blocks me from going to National Sports Forum. Have you heard anything about that, Ron? Or can you help me out with
heard
that at all?
It. Heard about it. Hell, it was my idea, man.
It was you. Apparently, I chose my daughter being born was in like 5 days of what the forum was this last year. So it was the first time I had missed it.
All right, Matt, we all have our priorities. Yeah. What can I tell you, buddy?
Yeah.
Plan better next time, maybe.
I told Justin, I got to try to find a way to throw Josh under the bus at some point in this podcast episode, but now it's the both of you, apparently.
Well, you keep this podcast going, and you'll be interviewing Josh here. I'm a big, big fan of Josh. This is his, for anybody who knows the forum, I mean, most of our team here, this is their first job out of college. It's kind of been an interesting formula that we've had, but we usually keep them here for about 2.5 years. They go to 3 forums. And get a chance to work, you know, and during that time period, a lot of them get a chance to figure out, well, where do they want to go? I mean, when they first come here, it's like, I want to work in sports. Well, you could drive a truck through that, you know, what part of sports?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it really gives them an opportunity to really talk to agency people, talk to the suppliers, talk to the teams, talk to the leagues. You know, you can talk to just about anybody and get a better sense for, hey, where would I fit? Where would be my best fit? Not only sport-wise, but maybe organization-wise. Like, I really click with these guys from Minnesota Vikings. I think I'd really love to talk to them about going to work there. So, you know, we've had this going, this model, but unfortunately it means that, as my wife is fond of saying, she goes, no, let me get this right. You take your best employees and you fire them? She has a way of drawing to the essence of things, like, yeah. You know, why would you do this again? But, you know, and I said, yeah, I know that sounds crazy. But the thing is that, as you know, if you've come to the forum before, many of our superstars, and we've had a number of them, have gone on to do some really amazing things in the industry, and they become some of our biggest ambassadors. Nice. You know, and they make way for the next generation. So, you know, you were talking about Josh. Josh, this will be his last event with us.
Oh, there we
coming
go.
Up. I mean, it's really so, you know, Matt, if you were smart, you'd figure out a way to talk him into coming to Daktronics. He's just been a terrific, terrific sale. One of, if not the best, then certainly one of the best sales reps we've ever had. So I'm going to miss him like crazy. And I know you've enjoyed working with him as well. But yep. Unfortunately, you know, he's destined for better things. And I know he'll be out there and he'll be, we'll be reading about him in SBJ.
Yeah. The last 10 months have been a little sketchy, a little rocky in our relationship since this list thing came about. But yeah, before that, it's been completely awesome working with him. So
yeah, before you had to actually work with him.
Yeah.
But once, yeah.
Now he goes straight to voicemail when he calls me.
All right, I'm going to interrupt this love fest going on over here, but I want to say thank you, Ron, for taking time out of your day and joining us on here to talk about NSF and everything that you've done for NSF and building it, how it started, and working with Daktronics. So thank you for coming on today.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I certainly, I can't leave without certainly sending thanks to Daktronics. I mean, we wouldn't be where we are. I mean, you guys are very much responsible for this being our 25th year. I mean, you know, in this world, if we hadn't done the forum, I would have never met you guys. And I would have been so much the worse off for it. So it's the friendships that you build, the relationships that we've been able to build over all those years have really made this very much a labor of love. And so our thanks as well to Daktronics for being there and being a part of the Forum family.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Ron. Thank you to you and your organization as well. We work with a lot of companies, and you guys are all, no matter who we talk to, very high class and a great honor to work with. So thanks again, too, for joining us on the podcast.
Absolutely. Well, happy holidays, guys.
Happy holidays.
Yep. Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.